This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. Here it is, a Wednesday morning, the 18th of January. And Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning. Good to see you today.
Good seeing you, sir.
Is it cold enough for you?
Yeah, it's gotten cold. It's a lot different than it was yesterday whenever I went out and fed the dogs.
That spoils you, those days, and then suddenly these Arctic blasts hit
us.
Yes,
and this time last year, I believe we'd already had two good snowstorms.
Oh, wow. Hadn't been checking my past records on that. I guess I was trying to put those out of my mind. Well, you know, we need some snow to just let us know that it has been winter.
Yes, it'd be nice. I mean, I've got a four-year-old, and she'd love to go play in the snow. So she's been waiting for snow.
That sounds like a winner to me. You brought some friends with you today.
Yes, I did. Brought Sergeant Nathan Pagel and SRO Fitzgerald.
Good to have both of you with us today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And I understand the SRO rodeo is coming up. Be here before we know. I know it'll be March, but that's just around the corner.
Just around the corner, yes. It's going to be on March 2nd and 3rd. The special needs rodeo will that be on the 1st?
We do that the Friday prior to the 2nd, 3rd. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that'll be March 1st. It'll be the Friday before all of it starts. It'll be the special needs kids in Rutherford County who come out, and we'll put out a special rodeo for them, and we'll provide lunch, and they'll get to pet the animals, and I think they do a hayride still.
They do a hayride, ride the horses, have a really good time.
Yeah.
And Deputy Fitzgerald is with us, and he's a school resource officer, so you are involved directly, not only with the youngsters, but with the rodeo.
That is correct, sir. The entire SRO division really pitches in, but we have a couple of individuals, Deputy Chris Templeton, Sergeant Bill West, Deputy Greg King. They really are the ramrods to this operation, do a really, really good job of putting together a nice program for our special needs kids.
Now, is this rodeo also open to the general public as sort of a fundraiser?
On the 2nd and 3rd, yes, sir. On the 1st, we close it to our special needs children so they get the attention that they need. And on the 2nd and 3rd, it is open to the public. We invite everyone to come out, help us put it on, enjoy a good show.
And that's over at the Tennessee Miller Coliseum?
It is, yes, sir.
All righty. So how can they get tickets?
Well, sir, they can contact the community services department there at the Sheriff's Department. They can contact the SRO division. Any SRO at any school would be happy to get it for them. And they can purchase them there at the Miller Coliseum on the night of the events.
All righty. So circle those dates on your calendar. And if you are a parent with a special needs child, how do you make certain that they get to go see this event?
Well, sir, we do that through the schools. Okay. We actually get the buses, the special needs teachers, and the particular departments at each school. Mm-hmm. They get it together. They get the buses. We transport the kids. We have the volunteers to help the children that day. We are there as a division to help out as well.
Sounds like a great cause, and this is the 7th annual SRO Rodeo. Our hats off to you for the great job that you're doing. And let's talk a little about the SRO program, because that has won national recognition.
Yes, it has.
The local program has.
Yes, it I believe it was 2010, we mm-hmm. got nationally recognized through the NASRO, which is National School Resource Officers Association. So we've been nationally recognized as one of the top SROs in the country.
Deputy Fitzgerald, tell us a little more about what SRO does. What is the purpose of the School Resource Officer Program?
Well, sir, we work as a triad. We work as a counselor, We work as a mentor, and of course, unfortunately, sometimes we have to work as a police officer within our schools. Our main goal is to provide a positive experience with law enforcement through the young people of our community, try to build a rapport, try to be there and support for them.
Now, you brought with you Sergeant Nathan Pagel.
And
do you sort of fit into the school resource officer program?
No, sir. I handle other things throughout the
department. He does a lot of our internal investigations, unfortunately, when we have problems within the department.
Okay, so we're going to be covering two subjects.
Yes, we got two different things here.
So you're busy with internal investigations.
Internal investigations, citizen complaints, and I also do all the background checks for new employees that possibly could be coming to work for us.
Okay, does that keep you pretty busy?
Yes, sir. It does. It does. We want to vet everyone that comes to work for us, so that can be a lengthy process. That can take several days, several hours to take care of that. Also, people call in with concerns and complaints, and I field those. And then, unfortunately, we have other things where we have to investigate things internally to make sure everything's above board and we're being responsible in our positions and representing ourselves professionally as we should in our profession.
Do you do investigations even when, say, the public doesn't alert you to something, just to make sure that everything is running as it should be?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It can be brought to me anything, something from the sheriff himself or all the way down to a supervisor within the department. If something seems to be a little bit awry, I would look into that and make sure we're doing things as we should and everything's vetted properly.
That sounds like an interesting job. I mean, a lot of people have jobs that are more interesting than others, and yours sounds like one that offers you something a little different every day.
It can be. It's different every day, yes, sir.
What type of background? Did you come up through the ranks as a law enforcement officer?
I had I came from Murray County Sheriff's Department, where I'd worked as a park ranger. Came here as a patrol deputy, wound up being a corporal training officer. I'm a domestic violence instructor and had been a domestic violence investigator for a while and then was tasked with this job.
So really, I would think that all of those different backgrounds have helped you in what you're doing. It gives you a little experience in a lot of things.
Yes, sir, it can. It put me in contact with a lot of different areas of the department and the public and gave me a basis of knowledge to work into what I'm doing now. And it's a learning process every day. You learn something new.
And Sheriff Arnold, I know you're very concerned with the public's ability to contact and be a part of what's happening at the sheriff's office. And I would guess that this is just another way that's happening.
Yes, they can contact Sergeant Pagel anytime, leave him a message if he's not there at his desk. That's what he's here for. He's here to field complaints from the public. You know, he gets a lot of, you know, people calling into him, giving attaboys too. He wears many hats around the department, and he's been doing a great job, especially with all the background checks that we've been doing whenever we hire somebody for a school patrol or for, you know, working in a jail or working on patrol. Just the different aspects of the sheriff's office, he has to do an in-depth background check. He, you know, sometimes he'll travel over to Franklin, you know, different departments throughout Middle Tennessee, you know, kind of going through personnel files and looking to see if this is a person that we want to work for us or not. And you know, he's come up with quite a few that, you know, over time that, you know, they've kind of been, it probably wouldn't be in our best interest for whatever reason, that, you know, we don't want to hire a person, or maybe we found that we really want to hire this person. We found numerous ones of those where these are really good people and we really want to hire them.
That's an interesting comment, because, you know, as you talk to people and try to get a recommendation about a person, sometimes they will give you a glowing report, and that person doesn't really deserve sometimes a glowing report, or maybe the opposite of that. But if you actually go to the previous place of employment or their current place of employment and you personally check their job files, nobody's messing around with that information.
No, that's very secure information, and it's very telling information. And a file isn't everything, too. Talking to supervisors, finding the local beat cop out in the jurisdiction where the people work and just having a conversation with them about, tell me about this person. It's the totality of everything about the person. Criminal histories, driving histories, their personnel files, how they interacted with other people. It can be in depth, and it's something that takes a little bit of time. It's not something that's going to be a couple of hours. They can take anywhere from 12 to 48 hours to complete one thoroughly, and take some digging sometimes.
Sheriff Robert Arnold with us this morning, and I guess one of the things that you really want is to have a good public relations image.
Yes.
And every deputy, every person that's out there, every person in the jail, every person that makes contact with anybody is part of that public relations image.
Yes, sir, every day. I mean, they represent the sheriff's office, and so therefore they represent me. So that's why, you know, we go above and beyond to make sure that we are all out there representing and giving a good positive image.
What have you been doing over the past year to try to extend that image, improve that image?
More training towards the officers, sitting down with them. You know, there's lots of times where I go sit in on the roll calls and talk to them and, you know, reinstill in them that image and or, you know, how this, whenever you become a law enforcement officer, you are more out there in the public and how the public looks at you more. And so, therefore, you need to conduct yourself accordingly. And sometimes we have officers that don't, and we have to deal with that in a fair and safe manner. And that's the big thing that we've been trying to do, is become consistent whenever we've had to discipline somebody for whatever reason, that we are fair and we are consistent. If we do it this way for one person, we're going to do it this way for the other people, as long as the circumstances are, you know, pretty much similar. Now, if they're totally different, then, you know, we handle it totally different. It's a case by case situation whenever we have to deal with it. But, you know, it's just getting with our supervisors and our supervisors instilling into these officers that you are, you know, out here in the public eye and they see you, and so therefore you need to act accordingly.
One of the things that has been in discussion over the past month or so here on the broadcast is the renovation of your kitchen area.
Yes, sir.
And the food preparation had been done at the workhouse, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. It's currently being done at the workhouse. Hopefully, I believe it's on January 31st, the mayor's office should be letting out bids for the starting of the reconstruction of the kitchen. The inmates finished up the demolition about the 1st of December. We did that. We took that task on ourselves. We figured we could save a little money by letting the inmates do it. Plus, it gave the inmates something to do instead of just sitting around, because unfortunately, the way that our jail is designed, you know, they can't go outside. They can't really, you know, get any good exercise, you would say, that other than in the pod. So, you know, it gives them something else to do. And the inmates worked very hard, got it taken care of, and so therefore it's all ready for someone to come in and start rebuilding it.
How long of a period of time do you think that'll be?
I'm hoping that, fingers crossed, I'm hoping that by July 1st that the kitchen will be back up and running, and therefore we can go back to the way we used to do it and cook our own meals. I know the inmates sure would be happy for that, and you know, it's been tough on the sheriff's office and the workhouse and the company that provides the food to provide the food and get it to the sheriff's office. I mean, it comes, it's very hot and all that, but it's just a logistical, you know, it's not a nightmare, but it's hard on everybody to try to cook the food and get it to the sheriff's office, because it has to be shipped across town.
What is your inmate population right now?
As of this morning, it's 799.
Whoa. So 799 times 3 times 30 times 7 months?
Yeah.
That's a lot of food to move.
Yes. And actually, we're paying, I think it's roughly 10 cents more a meal than what we were, than when we were cooking it, because now we've outsourced it. And one problem we're going to have, and we know we're going to have it here in the next couple of months, is we're going to need some more money for the food, because when we did our budget, based on, at that time, 700 inmates. So we've been running roughly 100 inmates more than what we budgeted for. And then we've also had this increase in cost. So we know we're going to have to go back and ask for some more money for the food, but we have to feed them. So,
well, now, why are we seeing an increase of 100 new prisoners? I mean, have you seen some trends?
It's just kind of steadily gone up over the past year. I don't know if what trend you're actually seeing. I know that there for a little while we did a couple of warrants roundup, and a lot of this could be based on the economy. I mean, we've had a lot of break-ins and burglaries over the past year. Our patrol guys have been on top of it when it comes to that. I mean, I think over the past year, I think they've caught like 6 or 7 actually coming out of the house, or they've caught them kind of red-handed with the stuff. So I mean, the patrol guys, I can't say enough about catching these burglars in the act and then getting them convicted. So they've done an awesome job at that.
So the inmate population is up about 100 each month, and their kitchen is down. And so you're having to prepare the food. If people know geographically, if we can sort of draw a picture for you, the workhouse is over on South Church Street.
Yes, sir.
And the jail
is over on Highway 99.
So you have 2 miles, basically?
I think it's 2.5 miles. You got to drive it, because you got to come down Church Street, go around Middle Tennessee Boulevard at the red light, and then go down 99 and turn into the sheriff's office.
Now, do the inmates at the workhouse prepare the food?
Yes. Okay. The workhouse has a company called ABL that they contract, that they prepare the food, or they manage the food, mm-hmm. but they have inmates that actually cook it. They just oversee the inmates.
How many people do they prepare for, I wonder? I mean, what increase have they had to cope with? If they have 100 people and then suddenly they're doing for their 100 plus 800 more.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the workhouse has had it pretty hard, too. I mean, it's no denying that they're normally used to cooking for just them, and actually they cook for the juvenile detention center. Is the way that they're set up is just cook for them and juvenile. But with this case, they're having to cook for us, at the sheriff's office, themselves, and juvenile, and they got to get it out on a certain time. So, it's rough on everybody right now.
Has anybody ever thought, and this is just a wild idea, is this something, this thing that's being forced on you, could it be streamlined and be a way to reduce cost and just continue this?
No, it's we talked about it with the mayor, and I sat down and talked about it for a while, and this is just, it's so hard on everybody that this just isn't economically the way to go. It would just be tremendously hard on everybody to do this forever. The way that we're going back to having our kitchens, because of the distance, and it just is better for the workhouse, for us to get our kitchen going, and for the workhouse to do themselves and juvenile detention, because they're so close.
So the bids will be let on January the 31st, the end of this month, and hopefully within maybe, what, 2 weeks?
Hopefully
after
within,
that?
Well, no, I think the county's got it to where they have 30 days to present their bid, and then the mayor's office will open the bid and award the bid. So everything that Chief Russell told me, that they would be letting out the bid on January 31st. So then hopefully construction can start by, let's say, maybe February 10th is what I'm praying for.
Okay. Well, we'll cross our fingers and see what happens.
Yes. And we did start, as of yesterday, putting in the new dispatch center. We got that up and going with them. Motorola has brought in all the pieces, and so they've been putting those together like a big Lego set. And hopefully whenever we get it all complete, up and running, we're going to do a ribbon cutting ceremony. So, Bart, I invite you to come out.
We'll have to do our show live from over there.
And we're going to invite people out and kind of show it off, because it is something that's really good and positive for Rutherford County to have this new dispatch center. And then the mayor's been working very hard over the past few years to get new radio towers throughout the county. So I hear that hopefully by July those will be all up and running throughout the county. So pretty much Rutherford County is getting a new communications throughout Rutherford County.
And we really needed it.
Oh, yes. Desperately needed it.
There were dead spots that you just couldn't reach the officers.
Yes.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back. The next segment is where you can call in. 893-1450 is our number. Sheriff Robert Arnold is our guest this morning, 893-1450. We're focusing on law and order. If you have a question, give us a shout, 893-1450. We'll be right back.
I get a radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Score big this week at Ford of Murfreesboro. We're keeping the drive alive by putting our biggest and best players on the front line. America's best-selling truck, the 2011 Ford F-150 XLT Super Cab, just $21,988. The 2011 F-150 has more power and more miles per gallon. No wonder it's been named Motor Trend's Truck of the Year. See it today at Ford of Murfreesboro, 1550 Broad Street, or fordofmurfreesboro.com.
F-150 stock number F363662. Price includes $498.50 dealer processing fee. Excludes tax, title, and license with approved credit.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Quite a bit of buildup still this morning on I-24 as folks make their way into the Midtown Nashville area. Very busy around the 40 Junction, also the 440 Junction and the Bell Road area. We did have an accident on I-440. This is at Nolensville Road, I-440 eastbound. And then in Murfreesboro, still seeing a lot of congestion, Old Ford Parkway all the way into 24. Heads Up Hair Salon has 10 nationally locations. They've been sensibly priced for over 30 years. Call or check out HeadsUpHaircuttingSalon.com to schedule your next visit. With traffic, I'm Randy O'Brien for WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Beautiful sunshine today, high near 40. We'll have a north wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Valuver. Currently 28.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Sports the way you like it. Local, all sports talk with Monty Hale Jr. and Tim Tackett. Weekdays at 4 on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Beautiful dawn melts with the stars.
We're talking law and order this morning.
All
Number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Sheriff Robert Arnold is with us this morning, along with Sergeant Nathan Pagel and Deputy Edwin Fitzgerald from the School Resource Officer Program. Our number is 893-1450, and let's go to the phones, 893-1450. Good morning, you're on WGNS with the Sheriff. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Robert Arnold. He showed me some kindness when I was incarcerated. I had an injury. My jaw was broken. He was an officer at the time, and it required that I wasn't able to lay flat on my back, and he made it possible for me to have two mattresses. It was a special needs thing to where I could at least sleep sitting upwards in an upwards position, and just that kindness while he was an officer made my family and more vote for him, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank him. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Good morning. You're on WGNS with the Sheriff. How are you today?
Great. I was wondering, the SRO officers, do they have a car assigned to them, a county car that they drive back and forth to school, or do they drive their own private cars? I'll hang up and listen.
They drive a county car back and forth to school. The county assigns them a vehicle, and they drive it back and forth. You know, they are still law enforcement officers, so therefore they may have to effect arrest at school. And then you've got to transport that juvenile to the juvenile detention center. Plus, if there should be a big catastrophe throughout the county, they are still certified officers, and so therefore they can be called upon at a moment's notice to respond to whatever situation occurs in the county. So they are issued county vehicles.
There's something, too, about visually seeing a police car.
That's a big thing, too, for the SROs. We park the car in front of the school. So, therefore, the parents and people in general that come by the school know that there's an officer there. You know, and it's a big visual thing for the parents and for the public itself.
Prior to that time that we introduced the SRO program locally, prior to that, did you have problems with people just wandering into the schools who would sell drugs and what have you? Maybe they would think
I was a freshman when the SRO program started at Oakland High School, and I'll be honest, I don't remember that part of it because it was my freshman year that it started at Oakland High School, and I believe it started at Oakland High School, Riverdale High School, Smyrna and Laverne High School were the first schools, and Central Middle School had an SRO. Out in Walter Hill, you know, the office, the way it was set up and all that, I don't remember if people came wandering in and walking through the hallways, but, you know, I know it's been a great program ever since.
While we're talking about youngsters and schools and things of that sort, let's touch on Project Child Safe. I understand the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office is involved in that and becoming more so. First of all, what is Project Child Safe?
Project Child Safe is a national program that actually passes out free of charge gun safety kits to the general public. Sheriff Arnold is expressing an interest to actually try to make our community a little bit safer, and he's teaming up with the School Resource Officer Division, and we are going to pass these out. Since 2003, Project Child Safe has passed out nationally over 35 million gun safety kits, and they provide these free of charge to the law enforcement agencies.
What is a gun safety kit?
It consists of a lock to actually run through the breech of the weapon and keep it from being able to fire at any given point, and also the instructions to use it.
Okay, so some safety training, and this is not an effort to take the firearms away from the public.
Absolutely not. Simply to keep our young people and our community safe as possible, to prevent any accidental injuries.
No, I'm all for people owning weapons, but when you got kids, like I've got a four-year-old, you know, you have to keep it in a safe manner. My personal opinion, I think we all ought to own as many weapons as we want. But yet, when we have children around, we do need to keep it safe. you know, so that they don't get a hold of it and hurt themselves or someone else until they can properly be taught how to handle a weapon, you know, at an older age.
And to be sure that each child, each family who wants one of these can get one, how do they do this?
Well, for the school-age children, it'd be easy. The parents or the guardians of the children can just send a written note to the law enforcement officer, the SRO there at their school, provide a phone number to them so we can make contact with them, because there are some different questions we'll have to ask them, the type of weapon, the size of block they'll need, things of that nature. And then we can either make arrangements after school hours to get them to them, or we can send them home with the child during school, there at the end of the day of the school.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I just wanted to put in Sheriff Arnold on how he's been conducting everything. Like I told him at a funeral, I didn't vote for him before, but I'm going to vote for him now. And I've talked to some of his people that's, you know, on Sheriff's Department, and they've got a very good positive attitude about him. And I just wanted to tell him about some of his, not personal, the names, but just tell him that I have talked to him, and they give him an A+. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. One of the big things that, you know, I talk with the guys all the time, and it goes back to the first caller that called, is I express to the guys every day, live by the golden rule. Do your job by the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat people out here in the public. If another officer was to come across your mother or your father, treat them the way you want your parents or your family members to be treated. I mean, that's the big thing when it comes to all this. You know, there are times where people, you can be super nice to them, and they won't let you be nice to them, and then you have to deal with that situation. But up until that point, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Let's talk a little more about the new dispatch. We sort of touched on that right before we went into the last break, and you mentioned that the new dispatch, they started installing equipment the other day, yesterday?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we're talking about a total renovation. And how long has it been since there has been one of those in your communications department?
30 years.
So stuff gets old after
yes,
a while.
Yes, stuff gets old. The equipment has about a 10-year lifespan is what kind of the Motorola company says on their equipment. And what we had was Motorola, and we put Motorola back in. And it's got about a 10-year lifespan. But this equipment was 30 years old. So the county got its money well worth this equipment. It was kind of funny how we had, when it had tore up on us on different occasions, we would go out and we'd look on eBay. We'd get, you know, we'd try to find the parts, and it kept getting harder and harder. Well, we contacted some of the people that we had contacted for our parts and asked them, hey, we've got now these parts. Do you need them? And they told us, said, no, we don't want them. We don't need them. You can just go ahead, just go ahead and throw all that stuff away. That we were about the last people that were ever called about that stuff. So it definitely is the right track of getting us where we need to be in protection of the public.
I know that in the past there were some agencies who had switched to new equipment, and the new equipment was not compatible with other law enforcement agencies, and suddenly they weren't able to communicate with each other.
Correct.
Is this one going to enable you to continue communicating with everybody?
Yes, we will have, because naturally the sheriff's office and the nature of it, of the way that we are, we will actually have capability of talking with everybody except for Laverne. We can talk to their old system, but not their new system, because off of our radio frequency, because they've gone to an 800 megahertz system, and we are still down on a 400 megahertz system. We can talk to their channel 2 on their radio system, but we also have a bridging capability. Now, if we put in the bridging capability for a catastrophe or something, then we can talk to them, and we can interlock everybody in the county for a need. And we do have the bridging capability for that.
I think people don't realize. They keep encouraging different organizations to go 800 megahertz, go higher, higher. Your coverage is lower and lower. They say, oh, no difference in coverage. Well, they are not in the real world.
Yes, and you would know more about that than even I do, because of dealing with radio frequencies.
Well, I know that we use 400 megahertz here for our communications at the radio station.
And that's what we use at the sheriff's office.
And we used to be at 160-something, I think it was. And people said, go ahead and change. It'll be better.
Yeah.
It was worse.
Yeah. Well, it's because you have the federal government coming in and going, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and they create these mandates as unfunded mandates. They tell you you've got to change, but yet we're not going to fund it. So,
right.
Luckily, right now, we're staying where we're at. We have the bridging capabilities for emergencies, and we can do that if we need to.
But the main thing is to get some more of those towers in different locations.
Yes.
So that you can get in behind the hills. And
yeah, like up in Burke's Holler, you know, you get up in there, you don't have any capability if you're back there towards Daddy Green Road, right there at the split. You get out towards Eagleville, you got some rough patches, and down towards Laverne. I know this past summer we were looking for a body out on the lake, and I couldn't communicate with the SO whenever I was trying to talk. I finally had to call in by phone. So hopefully with these new towers that are going up out in Las Casas stuff, everything will be great.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold.
Good morning, and how are you all doing?
Good morning.
Yes, I was calling in. I just wanted to get an update on the Eagleville Police Department out there. Just what's going on? Have they replaced those officers that left there? And I wanted to tell Sheriff Arnold that he and his staff are doing a superb job, and let you know how much you are appreciated, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. As far as I know, Eagleville has not replaced their two officers. We are still doing everything we can to provide services to Eagleville. That's up to their city council, the mayor. We gave them a proposal to, if they wanted to hire two of our officers full-time, what those costs would be with insurance and benefits and all that. I think they chose that they would rather hire their own people and do their own benefits and stuff. So I don't know where they are with that. But we naturally, I told the mayor that we'll continue to cover it as much as we can up until the point that we do get their police officers back.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with the sheriff. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bart. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, sir.
I have a question, something I was curious about, talking about replacing the radio equipment.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if anyone had ever considered doing away with the transmission part of the equipment, where it can't be used for transmitting, and perhaps selling that to people that might want it as a surplus property.
The equipment that there's some of that stuff that we kept for if we wanted to create a mobile dispatch center, if we could get the money from the county, we could create we'd get a van and we could put some of that older stuff in there that could, we could go out to a site and do. The rest of the stuff, because of the nature of it and all that, we destroy it. We send it over here to Clark's and they just crush it that way that, with the capabilities of that and law enforcement stuff and Homeland Security, we just have to crush it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I hope all of you have a very blessed day.
You too, sir.
893-1450 is our phone number. We're going to pause once again. We'll be back and continue the conversation with Sheriff Robert Arnold. If you have a question or a comment, the number to call is 893-1450. 893-1450. If you're on the line, hold on. You are coming up next.
Neighbor Talk is your island of logical thinking and a world of radical ideas. Tell your friends about WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
Beautiful sunshine today, high near 40. We'll have a north wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Currently 28. Beautiful sunshine today, high near 40. We'll have a north wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Currently 28.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. We're talking about law and order, the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. And Sheriff Robert Arnold with us this morning. Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Just fine. Mr. Arnold, I just wanted to let you know that I never met you before. I've seen you around a little bit, never got to talk to you, but my son went to school with you, and he was telling me what a good feller you was when you was running for office and everything, and told me all the good stuff, and so I was glad to vote for you, and I'm really, he was right. My son's 100% right. We're really glad that you got in, and you're doing a great job, and we wanted to thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks
for calling. 893-1450 is our phone number. We are just around the corner from springtime, and springtime is gardening time. And I know that people who've just moved to the area are probably thinking, why is he bringing up gardening when we're talking about the Sheriff's Department? There is a connection, isn't there?
There is a connection with our garden at the Sheriff's Office. We started it last year, the Gardens of Hope, and we will be starting that project back up here probably towards the middle of next month. The MTSU will, we've partnered with MTSU to help teach the inmates. They have professors that come out. And our garden is a classroom, and it provides food whenever we have our kitchen up and going. It provides food for our kitchen. It'll never offset what we buy for our inmates, because naturally you're trying to feed 800 people, and you've got a garden that's about an acre and a half big. But it provides them with some education and hands-on and learning how to work together and doing different things. So that garden project will start back up here pretty soon.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold. How are you today?
Doing great.
doing great, doing great. I like the way you brought him on, Bart. You said he was villain.
Yes.
I just like to commend him, the sheriff, on the good job he's doing out down this way, down the old National Highway. And the guys are really busy out this way. They just like the city cops. I believe I praise both of them, the city and the county, but I think the county is outstepping them a little bit now, and I really appreciate the good work they're doing, and have a good day.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
893-1450 is our phone number. We have about 5 minutes left, so if you have a question or a comment, don't wait until we're saying goodbye.
I've got one thing, Bart. Mm-hmm. Just a lady called in yesterday and was asking me. She was asking me about our patrol officers having take-home cars, or our officers in general having take-home cars. And she wanted to talk to me about, it could be a cost savings if we didn't have so many cars. And, we had a pool car. And so I wanted to explain to her, and then I want to explain to everyone else, one reason why we do the take-home car project is, if you remember Hurricane Katrina, and in Louisiana, you had all the school buses that were all parked in one area, and they had the flooding. And once they had the flooding, all the school buses were down. You couldn't use them. They were all flooded. One reason why we do the take-home car stuff at the sheriff's office is the simple fact of, if we have a disaster, you have cars spread out logistically all over the county. And so therefore, if these officers, let's say we have, like we did yesterday, but it's a lot bigger, a tornado here in town, and these officers have to come to the sheriff's office to get a vehicle to get back out into the public, well, you can't get into town if you have a disaster to get back out to service the people. But you can respond from your house to those people. And plus, if you have a disaster in a certain area, that say that an officer unfortunately lives in that area, it may tear up his car or his property, but other people can get to him or to the people that they're serving. So by spreading these resources out throughout the county, you're helping preserve these resources for responding to the people that need them. So now, I just wanted to put that out there.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because that sort of helps with another caller who called in earlier in this program. Mm-hmm. But before we leave today, I want to go over once again that special 7th Annual SRO Rodeo. And Deputy Edwin Fitzgerald, tell us a little bit more about that, how they can get tickets if they just tuned in, where can they get them, and when is that rodeo?
The rodeo itself is going to be on March 2nd and 3rd at the Miller Coliseum. The MTSU's Miller Coliseum. They can contact the Community Service Department here at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. They can contact the school resource officers through the individual schools. Maybe they have children going to the school. We actually pass out somewhere around 12,000 free passes to our school-aged children. And they can just contact anyone at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. Everyone pitches in. We all do a great job working together in this program.
And the day for the special kids is March the 1st.
It is, yes, sir, the Friday prior. That is closed, of course, to our special needs children within our school systems and outside the school systems that are able to get there. We do take them on buses. We provide the transportation. A lot of the local school bus drivers actually donate their time and their resources to get the children there.
And then open to the general public on March 2nd and 3rd.
That is correct, sir.
And that all benefits the School Resource Officer Program, a program that continues to get all sorts of acclaim all around the nation.
Yes, sir. It is a very hard-working division. We have many, many, many worthwhile programs that we provide to the school-aged children and the community in general.
I want to say a special thank you to Rutherford County Sheriff Robert Arnold for joining us this morning, along with Deputy Edwin Fitzgerald, School Resource Officer, and Sergeant Nathan Pagel, who does all of the internal investigations for the sheriff's office. Thank you for joining us and sort of keeping us up to date on what's happening.
Well, thank you, Bart. Appreciate you having us on.
And we look forward to doing a broadcast from the new kitchen and also from the new mass communications department out there.
We will do it.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.